226. Hello, humans.
Hello.
What? Okay, I'm hosting this, damn it. Welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. We haven't done a bum intro like that in a while. I'm going
I was
with
trying
it.
I was trying to fuck you up and like look like I was going to do it. And then the actual like vocals came out and I was like, ah, shit, I wasn't actually supposed to say words.
Way to go. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
This is episode 225 of this here podcast, and we have three album reviews for you. We have Ramona Park, Broke My Heart by Vince Staples. We have Trendsetter by Coi Leray and Broken Hearts Club by Sid. Three very interesting albums to talk about this week.
Yep.
A smattering of new singles and a little bit of music news here and there. I'm definitely bearing the lead for one of the cool things we'll be doing really soon, but... I'll tell that a little bit more in the plugs, but we have a really good show today. I'm going to get right into the new singles. We have two this week. First one is Holding Back by Banks, and Holding Back by Banks has been out for a little bit, but there's a full album that Banks just released earlier this week that isn't more like necessarily a full album, more like an EP, you know, drop type deal. No, that's a full album. My bad, I'm getting albums mixed up, but it's Serpentina, and I thought it was really interesting. Like, it's a very, like, avant-garde production in the track, kind of loud, but the sing's kind of interesting in it as well. I remember when you locked us out. We had to climb through the window out. Lifting me up was on the second floor, and I always love that story. And while you talk to me, you don't think I listen, but I do, you see. Words are never bitter because your voice so sweet. Your voice is like a melody, can't you see? What do you think?
Yeah, so it starts off interesting because the first, like, what, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, it has this really high-pitched vocal that's going through, so her voice just, you know, all messed up through electronics and everything. And I thought it was going to be one of those for a pop song, so the first, like, kind of almost minute of the track, I was just waiting for it to settle down. I'm like, what is going on? What am I going to get? And then it turned to a pretty cool pop song with the way it was made. I like the production of it. I like that it was pretty experimental with the way it was made, and the her vocals are fantastic with it. I'm really interested to actually look at the whole album now and get a listen to it. But I thought Holding Back was a good track. So, yeah, I'm going to give the whole album, the whole record a listen when we have the time.
Yeah, with the time that we have, and that's very little of it. But exactly. Next one, we have Goodbye, Mr. Blue by Father John Misty. Father John Misty was really considered to be like a really big staple of indie in the 2010s decade, yes. Especially. She's lately taken more of like a folk sort of bent and spin to things, which I found to be all right.
We reviewed God's Favorite Customer in 2018.
Yeah. We thought it was okay. And Goodbye, Mr. Blue is like an all right song. It's the lead single off of his album that he is releasing very soon, name of which forthcoming.
It was released on Friday, so it's one of those we'll have to review later. It's Chloe in the Next 20th Century, which is the most fucking hipster name of an album you ever have. Yeah.
Goodbye, Mr. Blue being one of the lead singles off of that. And I thought it was okay. Like, it keeps like a nice sort of predictable, simple pace. It's a good construction of it. We used to lay around here laughing at what these freaks out there were trying to prove. But what's wasting time if not throwing it away on work when the last time comes so soon? Mr. Blue died in my arms. 5 minutes long. It's pretty long, but Father John Misty, very like predictable fare. It's very hard for us to judge a full album off of a single, but I want to just like talk about that since the whole album is out this week.
It's an okay track. It's hard because I very much like Father John Misty's early work when he left Fleet Foxes. Fun fact, he was Fleet Foxes' drummer, for those of you who don't know, for their first two records. When he released Fear Fun and I Love You Honey Bear, those are both those albums I really liked a lot. And Pure Comedy was okay. I think we actually reviewed that too, I believe, in 2017. And then I know we did God's Favorite Customer, which I thought was all right. It'll be interesting to see when I finally get to sit down and listen to Chloe the Next 20th Century. But going on the single, Goodbye, Mr. Blue, it's a decent, like, Americana track from Father John Misty. It's kind of interesting to see, like, it's, there's a lot of play on words, a lot of motifs of, I know he has a, like, kind of a character that he makes with Father John Misty, like someone who's pretentious and everything, but with that track, it's interesting because it's, like, kind of ramping it up. So it's, I got to listen to the whole record now and kind of judge it on that and see if that's the concept of it. And if it is, then that's fine with me. But if it's not just of that track, then I don't really like it much. But overall, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you there. I'm kind of mixed on it, but I'll definitely want to listen to it more. We definitely want to do a music recommendations episode to catch up on a lot of the music we're like missing and needing to do.
So much this year, man. God damn.
Yeah, I
mean, unbelievable.
Everyone is just like releasing these things, like as it's happening. But you know, we love it. That's what we're here for. And one of the reasons we wanted to be able to review more albums and have the way to do that is because of Syndicate 23 membership. So thank you to our members. That is slowly growing right there. And part of Syndicate 23 membership, you get the whole archive of Audio Face episodes. Starting this year, some of the older ones are no longer publicly available, as you've noticed. We're just going to keep the most refreshed reviews up there. So if you want the full archive, become a Syndicate 23 member. You'll also get the full archive of Power Report. You'll also get special bonus episodes before anyone else. This week, in fact, a little bit later for us personally, but you know, very soon, the LCD Sound System bonus episode mm-hmm. is going to be coming up. We haven't done a bonus episode in a minute. I've really enjoyed getting to prepare for this one. And Syndicate 23 members will get it first. Everyone else will get it later this month. But go to join.syndicate23.co for all of that information and to be able to join. Also, if you want to advertise with Audio Face, go to info@syndicate23.co to be able to do that. The 2022 playlist is in the description of the podcast or the video description, so make sure you check that out. And thank you, Peter, very much at Dead Music Productions. If you are a musician who needs your music mastered, go to deadmusic666 on Insta. They will hook you up, as well as making this podcast sound really great, along
yes,
with
he does.
Sean's new mic. But
oh.
let's get into the, by the way, Sean's new mic paid for by members, so thank you very much for your help on that. But let's get into the news.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we're the last ones to kind of cover this because it, you know, the nature of when we do the show. But The Weeknd has replaced Ye at Coachella. Ye dropped out for, yeah, the headliner on Sunday. He's going to be performing, The Weeknd will be performing with Swedish House Mafia, who's already billed to make a big comeback for Coachella. And they will instead be, you know, working with The Weeknd with some big festival experience, like at the end of Sunday, yep. to headline. It's really be a festival closer. And, you know, the situation with Ye notwithstanding, because as of now we don't have details about why he dropped out of Coachella. A lot of people are speculating it's mental health reasons. I think that could be the most plausible reason. However, it's very unlike
Kanye at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's very unlike him to take the high road and take responsibility for his actions. I would love for that to change. I want to be wrong on that, but that's not the pattern that I've seen so far. So, but whenever we have more of an idea of a reasoning, we'll talk about that in the show.
Yep. But the interesting part to me with the whole kind of Weeknd drama was that the festival, so Coachella was like, Kanye was agreed to be paid $8.5 million, $8 million for the performance and $500,000 for production costs and everything. But they, you know, last minute asked The Weeknd to go play. He agreed, but they wanted to pay him considerably less, you know, I think like $2 or $3 million or so. So, you know, less than half of what they were going to play Kanye, and they wanted to pocket the rest. So the Abel of The Weeknd, he goes, "What in the fuck? I want my money." In true,
I want my money.
I want my motherfucking money, dude. Chill, man. This is going good for me. Boondocks fans will know, and it's just honestly, like, it's one thing, you know, it's a shit ton of money, and you know, The Weeknd doesn't need that money. Like, he's good for himself. But the more I look at the story, the more I thought about it. Like, on principle. If you go and say someone calls out sick at your work, and you have to come in, you should be getting paid your normal rate, whatever they're getting paid, or more, honestly, for showing up short notice. It should be the same for the weekend, no matter whatever the paycheck is. You know, you're doing the same exact job, same thing and everything. You should pay them the same that you did for me.
Yeah. And make sure you speak a little bit closer to your mic, by the way. But I totally agree with you on that. I think that the way that... I mean,
such a mess.
Coachella's going to Coachella. We all know the people behind Coachella. They have like a history of like anti-gay stuff, which is pretty relevant.
Forgot about that.
That's pretty relevant right now because I think a lot of people thought, gay marriage is the law of the land. It's totally fine. But now you have anti-gay, anti-trans bills passing all across the country right now. And it seems no sign of slowing down. And what happens when those bills get challenged? We go to a conservative Supreme Court. So I'm going to stop right there because this isn't Power Report. But I'm just going to say that like, there's a history of the guy from Coachella being a little of a jerk. And so this is very much not surprising. But another factor of this is I think this weekend story parallels Ye in a lot of ways, at least Ye's early rise, because I talked about this in the Genius bonus episode that I'm about to do with I'm about to post for Syndicate 23 members,
right?
Power Report guest, speaking of, about how early in Kanye's rise, he was constantly put down and shunned. Like, oh, you're just a producer. Oh, you're only making beats like this. He had like moments where he wanted to rise to the top, but even at the top, he never really felt like he was really respected. And so that, along with other things, kind of jokerfied him, for lack of a better term, right? And so let's look at The Weeknd, who he had his sort of come up. He was called all these other different things. He was called weird and quirky in the beginning. He has this thing with Bello, what's her face, then that kind of like ends and whatever. And he becomes this big celebrity and gets absolutely snubbed for the Grammys. Pays
like
for his
atrociously
own,
snubbed.
Pays for his NFL halftime performance, just like out of principle, for that. And continues to pave his way, is one of the most kind of like avant-garde pop artists to be doing it out there right now. A lot of pop artists are bringing it to the game. I think pop is better than it's been in years, honestly, in decades.
Agreed.
Even.
But
The Weeknd is one of those up there who is pushing it. It's not Drake, it's The Weeknd. And so the fact, all of that is to say, you're not going to run my man his money? what does The Weeknd need to do? What does The Weeknd need to accomplish for him to not earn, like you said, Sean, that thing that we should, not to make this Power Report, should be demanding in all contexts when we're covering people with higher pay grades than us who be making that say pay. But that's Power Report. Not only that, when you're a musician and you're covering for another musician on short notice, and you are the same caliber musician, to say, are you going to say The Weeknd and Kanye West are not the same caliber musician level in 2022?
They are. And honestly, The Weeknd is better.
Our biases against Kanye notwithstanding, both of them sell out arenas. So yep. you can't say they're not the same caliber of artists. Combine them with Swedish House Mafia 2 for like a special set at Coachella. That's just like a great touch. They're going to be having to do this and putting this together last minute, both of the bands. They should be getting more, frankly.
Yeah, honestly. Because it's a pain in the ass to go, you know, as artists, you have this set tour. You know exactly what you're doing. You're rehearsing. You're getting ready. Your stage crew is getting ready. Your production, all of that. You're touring around. So it's a new schedule and you do that last minute. Like, exactly.
And let's be clear, this isn't Dan going, all of a sudden Dan's like, the rich people deserve to get richer. No, I'm saying on principle, you're doing more work under a shorter period of time.
Doesn't like, matter what it is.
Yeah. Or at the bare minimum, the same amount of work in a short period of time. They were going to pay him less than Kanye. That is obscene.
And like considerably less, too.
Yeah, it's like $5 million compared to $8.5 million. And so I didn't even get to this point of it because the story kind of set me off. Like, so the Coachella people announced that The Weeknd was going to be on before negotiations had completed. And so The Weeknd threatened to pull out if he didn't get his full 8.5 mil. As I fucking would have too.
I like you, man.
As I would have too.
Yeah,
I'd be like,
too.
Hey, you're going to run me my money. Like, God bless. I think Weeknd's going to put on a great show at Coachella. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be doing some stuff for members.
You report, we decide.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a great show overall. But
I'm very excited to to have you go there and see how it is.
I do, for a number of unrelated reasons, religistically, do not love the people who run Coachella.
Fuck no. Absolutely yeah. not.
Anyways, let's move on to our first album review of the day. It is Ramona Park Broke My Heart by Vince Staples. 16 songs, 41 minutes long. This is the return of Vince Staples. He released his self-titled project in 2021. And to me, Vince Staples has sort of like been doing like a round two of his career, if you will, because he had an early discography where I think he did a pretty good job of going into, you know, not just kind of coming up into rap, but also describing the story of where he grew up in Long Beach, California, of different experiences he's had, both kind of flexing different ways as an artist, but different other things. But I remember last year, right before the self-titled album came out, Vince Staples said he talked to St. John or something like that, like an artist that we really don't like, who didn't make a good album, and basically gave him the advice of, listen, you can't do all the hip sort of, or you can't do all the underground rapper backpacky kind of stuff all the time when you are trying to make it to the mainstream, basically saying like you have to make stuff that will work for the broader audience, right? And I think that's fair, interesting advice. I don't want Vince Staples to change his message or anything he's doing like that. But I felt that, you know, when you combine Summertime 06, Hell Can Wait, Big Fish Theory, Prima Donna, like you even a little bit of FM, you had Vince Staples and a really good way of describing his full career, but also getting into politics when he wants to and making those songs hits. Like, maybe not like big, played everywhere all the time hits, but also kind of like songs like from Big Fish Theory, like Bag Back, Rain Come Down, yep. Are played everywhere and still and used in a lot of things. But that is to say, these past two albums, Vince Staples has sort of been giving another go at reintroducing himself musically, yeah. Right? With the first album, it's very much like, this is a very quick, Vince Staples, the self-titled project, I mean, it's kind of a very quick, okay, here's 22 minutes. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world of Vince Staples. And I thought it was really concise. I loved it. It was one of our Album of the Year nominations. This one is longer. It, I think, is Vince's most forceful and confident move into kind of doing this trap and be kind of flow thing yet. Mm-hmm. Something that I've thought, I don't know if Vince can really do this well, and I think is actually pretty well executed here.
It's interesting, yeah.
Sorry, that was a lot. It's like, this is Vince Staples redefining himself.
I'm still trying to, this is an album that I still don't know my opinion on it. There are some parts of it I really like, there's some parts of it that I would don't necessarily care for much, but they might grow on me later down. The big thing that I do like a lot from Vince is his versatility. He is, you know, from his first EP of Hell Can Wait, going all the way up to this new record, like you have such a wide range. You know, you have songs like Lift Me Up, Blue Suede, Screen Door, tracks like that, you know, early on in his career, which, you know, are harder trap songs, about game banning, you know, growing up in the hood in Long Beach and all of that, and, you know, dictating, you know, kind of going through his life and all of that. And then you kind of get more experimentation with Big Fish Theory, and then you, his self-titled record last year, which I do like a lot, is still more of those trap motifs. You had a little bit of experimentation with that, but the only big one that before was Big Fish Theory, where you had a lot of experimentation. You had Sophie produce a lot of that record, and he had a lot of that stuff which I liked and I want him to kind of go more into, but he didn't really dabble into it much since then. But with Ramona Park Broke My Heart, he's now going into more of, you know, broadening out his horizon, doing more of this trap and beat thing, you know, kind of still doing the same stuff within his lyricism, you know, of having good flows, you know, talking about, you know, where he kind of grew up, where he's at now, you know, the paths that he was at from, you know, starting with nothing and kind of now going into where you have that fame and stardom and all of that, and just looking back a little bit of saying, oh my God, how did I make it and all of that, but in more of a trap and B style, more of, you know, you're slowed it down a little bit. Production is, it's good. It's not cliche, because, you know, with a lot of trap and B, you can get really bad production where it's just overdone, overused. But with this, it's nice. It's a little bit of experimentation here or there. but it's nothing that will knock you out of the park either. I think it's a safe, good pivot for him to do, because it's good for him in his career, because he needs to do that. And I said that in his last record too. I was like, he needs to, you know, make a pivot somehow and do something different, because we've had 6 or 7 records of really good rap, but now what else can he do? And with this, it's great. It's, I do want more from it. There's still a little bit lacking. I think he's holding back a little bit here. But overall, it's a project I like. It's just, I'm going to have to listen to it a lot for it to really grow on me. Cause just, I didn't know what to kind of going to expect going in, but I wasn't expecting it to be too slow like this record is, but there's some really good tracks.
Yeah. I mean, I, for all the things you said there, I think that this is a good pivot. I'm glad that he made in this way. And even if we don't like it at first go, I think that, yeah, I've listened to it just cause I have my Vince Staples bias. I listened to this like 5 times. And
yeah,
I enjoy
it a good 3 or 4 times too.
I enjoy it a little bit more with every single listen. I find things I like it a little bit more with every single listen. There's some things where the opinions I haven't really changed on every single listen. This is like, for Vince Staples project, one of the longest feeling Vince Staples projects I've felt in a minute. And there are even times where I wouldn't say it's filler, but like they're definitely like interludes that I don't know.
They're
actually
okay.
Sort of like fine with.
They're okay with interludes. But like going like the music of it, you know, it starts off with the beach, which is a little interlude. And then I Free the Homies, which is the most fucking Vince Staples titled track in the world.
Can I just say, he shouts out Winco in there. Just thank you. Appreciate it. Go up in the house, cut this shit, get violent. Your mouth shut if we hear sirens. I'ma be on death row just like Suge Knight now. I stand 10 toes, I'm not no buster. Seen him by the wind cold, worked on my jumper. Baby know I'm hotter than the city in the summer. Before I leave the house, I gotta tell her that I love her. I don't know if I'ma make it home. These niggas ain't gang banging, they just singing songs. Probably it used to be called the Vince Staples Woke Award for the longest time, until No Name just threw down the Communist Manifesto in a fucking album. So that's the No Name Woke Award until we say it's not. But like with that, it's like when you get to I Free the Homies, you go, oh, okay, it's more like a trap and B. The thing with that one is like his vocals didn't suit that song in the way it's made. But then like kind of skipping a little bit further towards that like beginning middle of the record, you have a track called When Sparks Fly, which I fucking love. If you ever get loose, never put you in a jam, hold whatever for you. When you first shot your shot, I knew you would be the one to hit the spot. Only you can make it clap for the homies. I am not on the late nights, me and you circling the block trying to make it pop. Put that pussy nigga across the street from Cherry Park, hope we don't get caught. Don't you break my heart. Love how you illuminate my thoughts. And I really like the way he incorporated his rapping with the more of that chilled back R&B style that I really, really like. That bridge between neopop, kind of a little bit of experimental stuff, and then some rap in there. And I really like that. And that's a pivot that I enjoy. I wish he had a little bit more of that. Yeah, I really, first of all, I think it's A, not I. So, like, I want to be careful with that.
I.
Not song 2. A.
Oh, yeah.
A.
A.
But, I what was I going to say? Annie really loved previous audio, often audio face guest, secret
yes.
contributor, really loved When Sparks Fly as well. It was, like, one of the perfect, like, soothing things. So, really a lot of things from that track that people really enjoy. Shout out to Freno for the production on that. And I thought that was one of the better executions, an example of a really good execution of Vince Staples doing the Trap and B thing. I thought the previous best execution was Take Me Home with Fushi.
Take Me Home, yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty good. But yeah, I found that when you had there's a little bit of experimentation in production where you had songs that just sounded like this would have to be a Vince Staples kind of production.
Yes.
DJ Quick, for example, sounds kind of moody and backdroppy, even though you don't have that production from, I'm forgetting. He's really good. Kenny Beats. Yes. Who
Beats,
you usually have him doing things on. Like production for Vince Staples, you have had him recently, and that's helped with his sort of avant-garde technological sort of sound for about video game beats, if you will. But he's not on there, and you see that other producers are able to fit into this thing and make their songs work. Magic is a very good, like, Long Beach sounding flow, like styling, just the way the beat kind of works out. It really works really well for Vince Staples and the way he raps over things. East Point Prayer was the song that you did have Kenny Beats on, and you do have this album. We haven't touched on it very much. Very few like collaborations. There's Mustard, who kind of like does some production, some interlude and Magic. East Point Prayer has Lil Baby in there, and then Lemonade with Ty Dolla $ign. Both Ty Dolla $ign and Lil Baby do very, very good on here. Those are basically the only two features, and they kill it. They do great. Lil Baby's very quickly becoming one of my like rappers to watch when it comes to lyricism, talent, just performing really well. Really good job there. Ty Dolla $ign, that's really well known and good. My personal favorite on here might be Paper Cuts. Just because I think it's the best evolution of Vince Staples' basic sort of, not basic, I mean, but his standard, how he raps, how he flows, the way he talks about things. I think that's the best update of it for 2022.
Yeah, I think that I can get on board with that. Yeah, I really like the production of this record a lot. I think all of the producers that worked on it kind of gelled together, which is nice. Nobody had too much of a pull in any which way. It was very cohesive and concise with it, which is good too, and very difficult to do when you have multiple very good producers working together. It doesn't always work out. That part I like a lot. But yeah, overall, the record, yeah, I think it's going to take me a while to really get into this record, but it's a good pivot for Vince. I think it's great for his career, great for his musicianship and everything, and excited for the future to see what happens. And I'm going to be listening to this record a ton, and I, you know, implore you to do the same.
Yeah, absolutely. We have our Vince Staples, Long Beach Bias, etc. I think this is another great record. I think this moves him in a good direction. I think it challenges us as people who are fans of Vince Staples, which is
it good. Challenges me big time as a fan of Vince Staples' work to, you know, now as like a music reviewer for the past 5 years, it's like, okay, I really got to see this for what it is that, and now it's trying to get my bias out from before too. So it's one of those that's it's hard. Really hard to review in that
not
way,
to pat ourselves in the back, but like we do have a good ability to be able to notice that, oh, we as fans can go, we want Vince Staples to do more of his old shit, this is a big pivot for him, but
it's good
we,
for him to
but
do that.
Yeah, as critics we also know that's overall a good thing, even if we as fans aren't immediately digging it. And as a fan, I'm digging most of it, and I can see myself liking it more and more over time.
Like paper cuts goes hard. Lemonade with Ty Dolla $ign I like a lot too. So it's just tracks that it's gonna grow on me. I already know it. Every time I listen to this record, I like it more and more. So good effort.
Yeah. Arbitrary scale this week. We do arbitrary scales every week on Audio Face because our review is our review. If we set it any differently, any differently, then that wouldn't be an arbitrary scale in the first place. So here she blows. This week it's going to be 2x4s or like a lumber sizes, to be specific, because I went down a whole like rabbit hole. A 2x4 is not, you know, shaped or sized like a 2x4. It's a whole different measurement thing. But
like 1.5 to 3.5 or something like that. So
yeah. So it almost makes sense if you like round the last number up. Like, if you round all the numbers up, like, 1.5 inch is almost 2, and 3.5 is almost 4, in, like, a purely accounting kind of sense. But, like, that's your random fact for the day at the end of this Vince Staples review. Anyways, this is going to be the old reliable 2x4. You could do a lot by
2x4? A 2x4? That's fine. I think this is a good, 2x8. 2x8? Solid 2x8. Yeah.
What's the reasoning for that?
You can do a lot with the 2x8. You can cut it. You can cut a little bit and make it 2x4 if you need to, and have
you
a little
two
less.
2x4s.
you could figure it out.
That's exactly. Very true. Very fair point. Remember,
all
thank
you can do with him.
Thank you for listening to this review and listening to this podcast. You can help grow Audioface by following us on Twitter and Instagram. Like our videos, comment on our videos. Channel's blowing up lately, especially our Moto Mommy review. So thank you for commenting and liking those videos. We really appreciate it. Shout out to Spanish listeners of Audioface. YouTube.com/AudiofacePod for all of that kind of stuff. Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. You can rate on Spotify now, so definitely rate us on there. We'd really appreciate that as well. Tell people about the show in real life. That is really cool. On the latest edition of Power Report, like I said, there's a recent one on me versus Kyle Kalinske and stuff that he's doing with Joe Rogan, Dave Rubin selling his entire soul for money and realizing he's not getting any friends in return. It was a really sad story, but I mean, like, I feel bad editing it. A lot of people really liked it, so there's that. Anyways, we can get into the next story now, and this one is just nuts.
This is, yeah.
Filed under what? So
big fucking oops.
Yeah, so last year we talked about a story where Lady Gaga's dog sitter, or dog walker to be, I guess, specific exact. You know, dog sitting, dog walking, I guess they encompass them all. But was shot, and the dogs were stolen by a guy who was, you know, found and arrested. Thankfully, the dog sitter was living and alive. And so he was safe. Lady Gaga took care of all the medical bills and all things like that. He's recovered. And the guy's been in the clink for a while. Turns out, due to an administrative error on the part of LAPD, which has only gotten a larger budget since people called to defund the police. So you can't say defund the police for this one. This is the LAPD with a lot of money. You know, just do an administrative error. Let him go. He's just gone. Out.
Out the clink. Bye. Free man.
So James Howard Jackson, 18, who was accused in court papers of firing the shots during the theft of Gaga's dogs in February 2021, was freed Wednesday after a court appearance. Booking records showed it was because the charges against him were dismissed. But law enforcement sources are saying it was an administrative mistake because it's not clear exactly why the case was dismissed, because it was supposed to be replaced by a different indictment. But basically, it's this huge mess where they don't know exactly where he is. Apparently, the motivation for the robbery was how expensive the breeds are. So yeah, if you live in
Frenchies are absurdly expensive.
Yeah, so if you live in LA and own a nice dog, get a gun? I don't know.
Just don't own a Frenchie. They're stupid. Whatever.
Oof. This is a strong dog takes an audio face.
I mean, they're like 10 G's or like 5 G's. Like, why are you paying that much for a dog?
Yeah, I think they're perfectly fine. Very cute
animals. I mean, they're cute. They're super cute. Yeah, they're great. But
no, yeah, exactly. There are perfectly good dogs you can get from a shelter is what I'm saying. I don't have a particular Frenchie love here. I'm a Frenchie centrist.
I like my corgis, so corgi superiority. Corgi supremacist. I'm a corgi supremacist.
That's a little too much Japanese nationalism for me.
I'm gonna tap the brakes right there. I was gonna say some stuff, but we've gone a little less editing. So
yeah. Anyways, we move on to our second album review of the day. We have Trendsetter by Industry Plant Coile Ray. 20 songs, 50 minutes long, and
add this to album covers that you don't want to give to your wife.
Yeah. Every single week we give new tests to YouTube's algorithm to see whether our video gets flagged on thumbnail alone. This is going to be another one those days. But yeah, Coile Ray has come out with, you know, some really kind of interesting mini career on her hands. There are a couple of releases. There's Everything Cuz and EC2. Mm-hmm. There was the song Anxiety that came out as like a single from this that we saw was pretty interesting. And she's kind of gone into how, you know, the music creating process, especially leading up to this album, has been particularly difficult and like shown a lot of like mental health things she's had to go through and work through. And so it's an interesting project overall. I think it covers a lot of topics and has a lot of, you know, different production styles and that. And so I like that versatility and variety. There's a little bit of rap that you get with artists like Nicki Minaj, 504, and like Gierbo, for example. And then you get some like trap and B things with
her and a couple others.
Yeah, and just like throughout here, it just in the album itself. Like I said, Clingy as well and Heartbreak Kid, even though Heartbreak Kid, Clingy with Nav and then Heartbreak Kid being kind of more trap and B, but very no, what am I saying? Say no feature. And then, yeah, you just get a pretty interesting variety of tracks through here. I don't think there's a lot of cohesion per se, or I think there could be a little bit more of an effort to be made to that.
Yeah.
And I think at times, sometimes the song is just like kind of like over the top with like what it's kind of going for. It not like an over the top in, I think we did Lato a couple weeks ago, or like City Girls, what's a category of just like extreme like over sexualization, but just sort of feels like maybe I don't know Coil Ray that well, but I just sort of doesn't feel sold or like genuine as much as it feels from other artists, like say her or Kalani or Jasmine Sullivan, let's say. Mm-hmm. So
Jasmine Sullivan especially, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an okay record. It just, it's boring to me. It's just very bland hearing throughout it. You know, the features are okay, but they don't, even like with her, someone I, you know, really like her as an artist, even that feature wasn't that great. It wasn't,
I'm overthinking, yeah. In and out for the pie, all around don't make a price. Want you to be mine. We started off kissing. Next week we fucking in the kitchen. Let him fuck raw, nigga had me tripping. But he really out here living two lives. Ain't had real love in a minute. So it's made me fuck love for a minute. She was all in your bed, just admit it. You ain't know that I knew when you lied. But how many niggas don't listen? Now you went into my opposition. Tell me why you're so stuck in your ways.
I'm overthinking. It wasn't done very well, and I just don't think that it was. It feels like it was hastily put together for a record in the way it was. I mean, obviously, we don't really know, but just for the way it sounds, it just feels like it's kind of slapped together and thrown out there in the way it was made. But it's nothing. The production of it's just your average trap pop song, average trap and beat song, nothing at all where it's just. Nothing that goes, blows you away, blows you out of the water at all. There's no experimentation. It's just bog standard milk toast centrism, basically. But like, especially because, you know, we had two albums. You had Vince Staples and you have Coil Ray, and they're two different albums, but they're different takes on kind of similar things. And with Vince's, like, the production, everything, I'm just comparing it. Like, when I was listening to these records, I go, yeah, this is so bland compared to all of the things that we've been getting this year. We've been getting a ton of music, a lot of actually decent rap, a lot of decent trap and B too. And with that, like, you have to put out, you gotta do something different. You can't just keep doing the same things over and over again. And like the No More Parties remix with Lil Durk, like in the middle of the record, like that is just the most, put that at a party or put that at any random store in LA and, you know, fine with what it is, but it's nothing that's going to knock you out the water. It's just, it's lazy production, it's lazy songwriting. I'm different when it comes to trust, I never leave my bros. Voice out the streets, plus me and India, relationship goals. I love niggas, I had love for, they mean me well. They praise the niggas, told them bro like they ain't see them tell. But me, I'm after better things. I'm only doing shit that's gonna make me relevant. Only one people around that's gonna make me better. And that, it's so they ask how I get that. A little hot take, but it's just,
no, I would totally be with
22. Like, we got to do more shit than this.
Yeah, I would totally be with you there. Like, I think that there's like, yeah, you saw some moments where you're kind of going into different ideas and things, and I like even songs like 7 and 8, like I mentioned, Clingy and Heartbreak Kid. They kind of do like a more guitar related thing as on the backdrop.
He fell in love off the last shot. He walked in, my eyes on him. It fell in love with the savage. Lovers and friends put the pussy on him. So the boy called me, let's make it happen. Little, let's talk more action. Baby, keep it real, no cap. Fuck me on the jets and Hamptons. Gonna put my name in your captions. Like, what is you doing?
To kind of keep things fresh within here, but like it's only just a little bit there, and those are production choices that you can make necessarily. It still doesn't, there isn't a lot that branches out, sadly.
No, and a lot of the production sounds the same too, like Heartbreak Kid and No More Parties remix, even though it's a remix of No More Parties, the production on it is so fucking similar, you know, just like, why am I listening to the same song twice? I don't need this. happens a lot on this record, and just that's where you get that lazy production, you know, just Fisher Price beats, just bass boosted to three, and then rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat.
Yeah. Overall, like, okay, but can we just get this out of the way that this is one of those, like, Blue Link Wikipedia parent artists where, like, you think they're kind of, you know, cool and trendy and hip and young, but it turns out, like, their parents are really well-connected in the music industry. And not to make this a Power Report episode, but there is something to be said about how a lot of new artists who are coming around the scene, like, in the 2000s and 2010s, you had a lot of fresh faces coming through who weren't necessarily extremely musically connected. Now in the 2020s, the people who can afford to kind of get in the right places and be in front of all the right people, because that is a big cost up front, are people who have to be happen to be related to musicians. You could even look at like Billie Eilish and Phineas, for example. Their parents are very deep in the music industry. There's a lot of other artists who are coming up in that kind of very traditional way. And not only do you worry about kind of, it's less of a gatekeeping issue because there's so much in music, but you get things that are over promoted. Like, Sean and I literally walked by a trendsetter, like a pop-up store the other day. Like you get these things that are overly promoted, not necessarily because there's, promise behind the artist, but because like this artist has parents that are well-connected and knows which strings to pull and go to in the music industry. Even if that connection with the parents isn't necessarily the healthiest, as we'll go through in the story that we did here, where Benzino, who is Coyle Ray's father, Benzino is like a well-known rap producer person type thing. Basically, Coyle Ray was on The Breakfast Club saying that he's a deadbeat. Things like that, saying my dad's, Coyle Ray said, my dad's texting my mom, threatening her and me because I said he went broke on The Breakfast Club my day of the album release. She tweeted, I hate to bring this shit to social media, but my father need help. Sorry if I offended you on Breakfast Club, but don't treat me or my mom different because you hate to admit that we went broke after the source. Basically saying like, build a bridge. That's why I never mention his name coming into this industry, because he can't get over his past and don't even realize how much damaging he is when he does this stuff. So that's sort of like a trying to almost combat that kind of thing, saying like, no, this wasn't industry related or like mentioning that. But ultimately, you have an advantage because you're around those kinds of people. You know the kind of places to go better than someone else who's starting would. So yeah, I don't buy the whole I got this completely without any help from my dad kind of thing. It's one of those libertarians, I magically didn't use any roads and use no electricity or anything like that and use no like public schooling at all.
You know, just
start
a business. I magically did not have $100,000 started in cash already. I magically didn't have my parents' house already. You know, it's one of those.
Yeah. And then she, dad responds in another way by saying, it's a long like back and forth, but I think at one point he says, legends don't play the back, they set the standards. Thank you for Charlamagne Tha God and DJ Envy, two people who like defended him and stick it up for him, not letting a false narrative for who I am, and what I've accomplished happen. I put too much work in for the culture. And he says, the problem with this social generation is they have no respect or regard for who came before them and how they laid the blueprint for them to be successful. I always revered those who came before me, and I'm grateful to the legends of hip-hop. And so it's sort of this back and forth. It's a generational thing. It's this, I actually did help you in your career thing. And in these back and forth, it's pure messy drama. I think there's like some truth in between both of that. I'm pretty sure the dad's a dick. I'm pretty sure Coyle Ray is like not... realizing some of the privileges that she was afforded in getting to her release of a relatively lackluster album. But I overall, I think it also serves to be a really nice piece of publicity for an otherwise lackluster album.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, a mess to say the least.
Yeah.
Arbitrary scale?
Yes, arbitrary scale, lumber sizes. We do arbitrary scales every week on Audio Face because our review counts, and that's the end of that. It is going to be
lumber sizes. So let's see. What are we going to do for this one?
What do we have? What do we have? I think I can give this like a... I'll give this a 1/5.
1/5? That's fine. I was going to give it a 5/4/6.
Oh, that's incredibly useless.
It's incredibly useless measurement. You're like, you got me a what? You did a what now?
Yeah. So, this next story I love. It looks like DaBaby, it appears that DaBaby was trying to kiss a fan, but just like didn't let it, she didn't let it happen.
She'd swerved him straight up. She turned the other cheek, as we say, and said, fuck you, and got out of there.
Yeah, it's a little bit unclear. It's like a short video, which we will be playing and reacting to right now. But it's a little bit unclear exactly how it kind of worked out and happened as it did. But you see what happened, and we're going to show you DaBaby's response, which he denies that he tried to kiss her. But listen, we're going to watch it for you right now.
You decide.
And see what happens. So he's walking, trying to go in for the kiss.
Hey, man.
Nope.
Oh, he shakes her head
second time. You see that? You see that look he does? It's playing again. He's gonna do this like look afterwards after getting rejected. Like,
damn, no, dude,
come on,
you
didn't reject me. Come on. Oh man, he does that like I didn't want you anyway kind of thing that men do.
You
when
know
they're
what?
Rejected.
I didn't want you anyway.
Goes exactly. Home to cry.
Exactly. That is hilarious. That is funny as hell.
I think the only thing that could be funnier is his response to it.
Oh,
yeah. He posted on Instagram, y'all go on ahead, man. Basically saying that all these trending things about DaBaby trying to kiss a fan is just that. It's just a trending thing. It's not actually real. Sure, pal.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah, didn't he just get his ass beat? Or like, no, he just like beat someone's ass in a bowling alley over... Yep. He beat his baby mama's brother's ass in a bowling alley.
Yep.
Over words?
Yep. Man's got issues.
Absolutely. Like, not to sound like Dave Chappelle, but we reacted one way to Will Smith and we acted another way to DaBaby. Like, how does DaBaby still have a thing? Like, have a career?
Yeah, how does he have a career?
How is Will Smith banned for 10 years for a slap? And DaBaby still makes music. And, like, no one cares. Anyways, let's move on to our last album review of the week. It is Sid's Broken Hearts Club. 13 songs, 38 and 39 minutes long. And this is one of those, like, you know, neo-pop, neo-soul records that it's just like it's going to be like one of my favorites. It's going to be like one of those ones going to be playing for a very long time. I put it up there with, there was a one Solange album. A Seat at the Table. Yes.
Seat at the Table goes hard.
That came out a while
there
ago.
There was
that's
one,
like one
I can't remember
ever.
From maybe 2018 that I really, really liked.
The Solange album?
No, not Solange, but just like the neo pop album. I just cannot think of it. It'll come to me at some point. But this is a fucking record.
Sid, really fast, just history. Lesser remembered or acknowledged member of Odd Future. So like came out with a lot of different, you know, there's Earl Sweatshirt, there's Tyler, the Creator, there's Vince Staples. There's a whole bunch of different people who've had various different careers since then. Sid was one of the first people to just be like, you know, all the niggas is gay, right? It's like, hey man, it's like, why are we all doing this with Tyler, the Creator, especially? But there's also the act, The Internet, that she does with a number of different people. So she's very musically apt and going really skilled with that. And has since started to do some solo things, which have been really great. Started to really also lay into the soul. There was Finn from 2017. You had features from Steve Lacy and Black with a Six on there, laying down also the funk influences as well, and that's very much continued in Broken Hearts Club, and you get all that funk and neo soul and experimentation as well coming together. And what better way to begin with all that than the first track, Cyber.
Yeah.
With Lucky Day, sexy flexy ass nigga himself. Cause that album cover from a couple weeks ago.
It's I love the way this album opens up. You have a couple, like, well, you have obviously the opening track, Cyber, which gets you into it, and you're like, ooh, okay, I'm getting some, I'm going to have a good listen to this. Great opening, sucks you into it, does all the parameters of the opening track that I like. It's straight to the point, but it's very good and experimental in the way it's made. Really like it. Tie the Knot, another good, like, neo-pop, neo-soul style song. And then you have Fast Car, which I have had on repeat for the past 3 days. Because, goddamn, this is such a good song. Oh my god, I love it. And I reach out my hand to you. Take me where you wanna go. Doesn't matter near or far if I'm driving your fast car. Take me there. I wanna ride. Now I can see inside. Do with me what you like. So take me. Absolutely love this is like my favorite of, you know, blending pop with R&B with just everything. So much goes into it that I like, and I really like that track. But kind of overall, like, my overall thinkings of the record before I go more into each track, this is one of those where I absolutely love the production of it. You know, with a lot of our, you know, a lot of the R&B records, a lot of the other records that we've been getting the past few years, sometimes the production can get a little, you know, a lot of lackadaisical. It can be flat. It can be monotone here or there. The features can, you know, just be phoned in. It's a lot of issues that we've had throughout it. But this is the first one, I think, in a while where it just, it blew me out of the water. Every track it hits, all the features are great. Lucky Day is good. So we know Kalani is great, even though it's funny because, Kalani's record, it was good until it wasn't, is a prime example of a record that was super flat and not good because the way it was made. And a lot of them are just, you know, so many of these records just about love, heartache, blah, blah. And everybody's writing like the same style of it. Like, you could do love and heartbreak and everything, but in of, you know, your own style, stylistic choices, but everybody keeps doing it the same way. But even on Out Loud, later on the record with Kalani, she's great in there. Usually you're running your mouth. I know where you're coming from now. I just wanna hear it out loud. Baby, go on and say it out loud. Speak up. Why all of a sudden you're quiet? Why suddenly you're shy? Suddenly you ain't mine. You've been mine for some time. And the pairing of her and Sid are fantastic. And it's one of those where that really gave me an appreciation for the whole record as a project. And I had Vanessa listen to it, and she really liked it too. So I wanted to get a second opinion on it before we recorded. I'm like, okay, I think this is a very good record, but I want to see someone else outside of the, you know, the music critique world and everything, outside of our little bubble, out of our fish lens of Audio Face, and see what happens. And I got the same kind of idea too. And she agreed with me too, with Kalani. So,
I've been needing a song like Break My Heart, Why Don't You, number 11, in a minute.
Yeah.
It is so good. It is so powerful.
That's another one I want to get to. Yep.
Yeah, that was another. I played it for someone else, and it was a really great track. Like, it's so powerful. It's like,
It reminded me a lot of Sade.
Yes, very much. It's another subgenre of songs I like. Of that you make like new titles or like acronyms of things that seem like really random, but then it like becomes like that. A brand, like that has to, like, anyone will know what that means if you like put that in an acronym. It's just like your own thing. It's really good. And Sid's got a great voice. It feels like it's only getting better. Like, I remember Sid having a pretty decent
Fuck With Me, Get a Bag. There's a lot of different tracks that are like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that when you do that. I do enjoy that. Surprisingly, even though I'm the one who hates all caps, I do like it when there's one title track where it's too long for a title track, so you just have all of those, and you have to figure it out, and every time you figure it out, you're like,
That's an cool acronym. That's different than an all caps track, yeah. But
yeah, exactly.
Sid's vocals, I feel like, I mean, so Sid's good. Never been like a bad vocalist, but I feel like she's getting continually better and better as she continues through her music, which is really great. So
yeah, it's different. Like, it's funny because, you know, I always think of Sid with the internet and everything, and I really like the internet. We've done a couple of things on them before, and her solo projects now are getting great. And to me, this is where her vocals shine a lot. Like, it's one thing on the internet and everything else that you've gotten, but with her solo track, especially this record of Broken Hearts Club, it's just shining a whole different level because the way the production, you know, complements her voice, complements even the lyricism and everything, it really gets you to gain an appreciation for it. And it's one of those that it doesn't get tiring for at all throughout the record. Like, honestly, I wanted more. When it ended with Missing Out, I was like, damn, why did it end? I wanted a couple more tracks. But honestly, like, it's perfect. That's good. You want it sometimes to give that lingering feeling where you're satisfied, but you're still wanting a little bit more with it. But this is, yeah, fantastic record. I was very, very pleasantly surprised in it. I like the middle of the record. I like the ending of the record. Yeah.
Yeah, I am really pumped for more Sid overall. Couldn't be better. Anyways, Arbitrary, Scale, Lumber. I'm going to be playing this so much. Is that so much, like, lasting value too?
But there's so much that John Gunwood says there's loads to listen to. There's so much to listen to on this record where it's, again, it's one of those that it's gonna even grow on me more with time, and now I want, you know, it sets a precedence for the rest of the year too.
Yeah, this is definitely gonna be one of those like album of the year contenders.
Yep. And like Neopop, man, you have to be knocked out of the water. So, yeah, Arbitrary Scale, Lumber Sizes, because our review is our review. Arbitrary scales make more sense than an actual scale because scales don't matter because pitchfork. That's all I'll say on that. This is a solid, like, shit, what is... You know what? This is a 1x2. This is a 1x2. Because you get, sometimes all you need is a 1x2 just to nail it on the wall and pop up for something that you need. Sometimes that's all you need. All you need is a little bit of something. You need a little bit of wood. Just get a solid 1x2. Gets the job done sometimes.
I'm going to stay with you on that, honestly. This is the 1x2. This is all reliable. Two. Very helpful.
Oh, reliable.
And we always like to end Audio Face on a fun note. And we have a saying.
Fun?
Okay, listen, we have a saying, before the bodies are cold, on Audio Face. This takes it to a whole new level.
No! Yeah,
Sean's done.
No, hey, man.
Sean's done. So,
Jesus.
There's a rapper named Gunu who, listen, as is the case, was shot in a parking lot, as happens to a lot of rappers. And so he had a funeral. It was at a club in Washington, D.C. It was called The Final Show. And in addition to, you know, having a party that was there, there was like a club, there were drinks, there's dancers, the kind of thing you would usually have at a club, maybe not necessarily a funeral. But you had the corpse of the rapper standing up in the nightclub on display during this funeral party rager thing, just standing up, looking over there like some, like on some Egyptian shit with a dead body, just like, yeah, staring down at them. Like he got shot and then they've thrown, and then, this is more than an open casket.
It's just one of the creepiest things I've ever seen in my life. Like, this is just...
And this is the podcast where we did Hologram Rob Kardashian. So this is still creepier.
It's just crazy because you look at the video, right? And everybody's, like, mourning and sad and shit. And there's some people that are just turned up. And then he's just like this, just...
It's maddening.
All right, dog.
It's really maddening. So, like, some people are dancing to it.
Jesus.
Some people
are... Let the poor man rest.
Oh, I mean, he's resting all right. Hey, dude, I think you gotta go home. You're tired. Hey, listen, I'll call you an Uber. Listen, you've fallen asleep. The main guy's not even on yet. This is an audio phase.
Oh God.
So I got the number wrong in the beginning of the episode. It's 226, it's like everyone else knows. So yeah, you should have hosted this. But either way, I'm having a time. What does it mean to play us out?
Thank you for listening to Audio Face, whatever this podcast is anymore. I don't know if it's about morals or music, news, and culture. That sometimes matters.
It shifts.
It shifts. We shift the goalposts like conservatives tomorrow, a lot later. Anyways, you can follow the podcast at Audio Face Pod on all social medias. You can follow me, SW Suarez, if I trust you. You can follow Dan, whether you trust you or not, at Dan from the internet on Instagram, at Dan from the web on Twitter. Also, you can go to youtube.com/audiofacepod for all of our videos and stuff. And it's great because we like seeing the interactions and give us more comments because that shit's gold injected into my veins. We got our bonus episodes coming out soon, so be tuned for that and become a member. Syndicate23.co. Join, get me some more mics, and peace.
Peace.
Also, let the dead sleep, goddammit.